Okay. Last week we were discussing the shiloh about dipping your challah, or for that matter, your matzah. I don't know if I made it clear enough last week that challah and matzah are the same. So the question of dipping your challah or your matzah into your soup bowl, we didn't really finish last week, so we need to go back a little bit more this week and get back into the shiloh. We mentioned last week there's two issues that need to be discussed. First of all, we have a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos told us, as a rule, things do not cook in a klisheni. The rules of Bishul are not subjected to a klisheni. So therefore, the answer should be no problem. The soup pot is a kli rishon. That's what the soup cooked alo ish. It was on the fire. You took it off the fire. It's still a kli rishon. It goes into your soup bowl. It's a klisheni. It should be okay. The problem is that the rishonim, mainly the yireim, is worried that maybe there's something called Kali Abishal. We have a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah said there are three. The Mishnah gave examples of what Kali Abishal are. Certain types of fishes that's not so negated to us. But the Arayim was one of the big Rishonim who said, well, maybe that wasn't the rule. Maybe that was merely examples. Maybe everything and anything could be Kali Abishal. So if it could be Kali Abishal, so it potentially could get cooked in a Kli Sheni. On top of that, says the Arayim, maybe bread, although it's already baked once. And we have a rule, ein afia achar afia, ein bishal achar bishal. You can't do the same procedure twice. But what happens if you do a different procedure? Meaning bread is first baked, so that's one procedure. Then when you put it into hot water, that's called cooking. This shiloh will come up again when we talk about instant coffee. Because instant coffee, how is instant coffee made? Depending on exactly, but according to many, it goes through some form of a heating process. So that might be either bishal or afia. So even if I cook the coffee again, it's ein bishal achar bishal. But says the Arayim, oh, but over here you have a different element. You have Bishal Acharfi, it's a different procedure. One is baking in an oven, one is baking through a liquid. Afia is defined as baking through heat and or fire, and Bishal is usually with water. So when I take my challah, I dip it into my soup, the soup is water, so that should be Bishal. So let's just see, it's important to see the Arayim inside, because it's going to be very, very relevant for numerous shaylos this evening. It's funny, many Achrayim don't look at the Arayim, or maybe they didn't have the Arayim, but it's a very, very important makar. The Urayim writes like this. Hilkach, therefore, Yizar Adam Shloi Lahachnis B'Shabbos Shum Davar. Don't put anything, not only bread, anything, B'Kli She'ini, the Af B'Kli Shlishi. Says the Urayim, who's the makar of the Chumrah. Says the Urayim, on Shabbos, be careful, don't put anything, not into a Kli She'ini, and not even into a Kli Shlishi. Why? If it's Yatzaled is ba, Shaino no bikim bedvarim rakim v'kashim mihu misbashal b'klisheni umi eino misbashal. We don't know anymore. In the times of the Mishnah, they knew. Today we're all a bunch of amaratzim. We have no idea what's Kali Abishal. Therefore, you have to be machmir, and you can't not only put into a klisheni, says the Urayim, you can't even put into a klishlishi, which means according to the Urayim, anything that's suffic Kali Abishal, you can't put it in. What about a kli revi? Doesn't say. There's no reason to assume it should be any different. He says Sheini, he says Shlishi. So important this Urayim, because he says clearly that you have to be Choshish in a Kli Shlishi as well. Then he comes on to his next Chumrah. What's his next Chumrah? Now this sounds like it has nothing to do with bread. This is anything. Not only bread, anything. You can't put anything raw. Obviously, if it's cooked already, we have Ein Bishal Acha Bishal. Let's say you want to put vegetables in. You want to put vegetables into your soup. You want to put your turnip. A lot of people have turnip Friday night. They dip the turnip. Turnip is a raw vegetable. Raw vegetables are subjected to Bishul on Shabbos. So according to this Urayim, you can't put any vegetables into your soup bowl, not into a Kli Sheni, not into a Kli Shlishi, not into anything. And then he drops another Chumrah. Then he writes that the Yesh Bishul Achar Afiyah V'Tzili V'Yesh Tzili Achar Bishul. I hold you can go the other way also. You can have a cooking after a roasting and a baking after a cooking. Therefore, Yizar Adam, a person should be careful, Shlo Yitem Pas Afuyah B'Shabbos. Do not put baked bread, Ella where? B'Kli Sheni. We mentioned last week, that doesn't read right. What he means is, you should not put it in a cliche in the Yatzaladizbah. If it's already cooked. So the Urayim thinks it might be a violation of Isidar rights. According to the Urayim, if you take your piece of challah and you dip it into your soup, that's a cliche, you're potentially violating the Shabbos. So writes the Urayim. Now, we mentioned that the Ireim has two chidushim. Chidush number one is we don't know what potentially is Kali Abishal and everything might be Kali Abishal. Chidush number two is he holds, although we have a rule in the Gemara, in Bishal Ach Abishal, Ve'in Afia Ach Arafia, if I take a piece of bread and put it back into the oven, I'm not violating the Shabbos. But if I cook after bake or bake after cook, then I am a violation of the Shabbos. You put those two chumras together, where does that leave you? It leaves you that you can't take your challah and put it into your supah. Because taking your challah, putting it to your soup bowl has two chesroinis. A, maybe your bread is kali abishal. And B, maybe we hold yesh bishal acharafiyah. We mentioned last week that the Ravon, quoted by the Mordechai, disagreed with the Yireim. What was his disagreement over? He disagreed with the Nekuda, the second Nekuda of the Yireim. What was the Yireim's second point? The Yireim's second point was, is that you can cook something after it was previously baked. Says the Ravon, I disagree, I have a right from the Gemara and Brachas, that that's not the case. You can't cook something after it was baked. If it was baked, the procedure is over, there's nothing more to do. Okay.
Can you put in something you put in your Yireim? Something that was cooked already, now you're putting it into your soup?
That would be fine, because that would be Imbishal HaChabish.
That's cooked.
That's fine. But the problem is, if you want to do something that either was raw, who? That's no. There's no bishal achabishal on something that was already adav yovesh. He's talking about something that was cooked and something was baked, and now you're cooking. That's a different procedure.
But if it's pasta,
if you want to take pasta, so that's the shayla with the noodles. Let's say you want to put the noodles into your soup.
Right.
So the noodles are presumably adav yovesh, right? They were already cooked. The question is, maybe we'll.
The, same way.
The question is, how are noodles cooked? Are noodles cooked or noodles baked?
So I'm saying you take like you make a pot of spaghetti, so you put it in.
Right, but so before you get to that, how was the noodles made before in the factory? Were they baked or were they cooked? That's a discussion amongst the Achrenim. How to look at noodles. So then they might go through another. There's another shot. Can you have bishul, afia, and then another bishul? That might be relevant to the noodles because the noodles go through. In the factory, they're done something to them in the factory, right? So then in the factory, they're done, let's assume it's afia. Then you go home and you do bishul, or whatever the order may be. So that's a question, these are things today we can just Google and figure out how they make pasta.
Let's take another example, take an egg that you hard boiled. Now you want to put it into your soup.
Right.
That's not a problem, right?
So we're going to learn today also that eggs might be kali abishal according to everyone. Let's say you take a piece of schnitzel. Make it simple. Take a piece of schnitzel and you want to put it into your soup,
okay.
Right? So that we assume is a duck. Well, again,
that's already baked.
Well, again, assuming schnitzel was on the fire, that's not going to still be baked. That's still going to be considered depending on how much sauce you put in. It gets a little tricky. So how do we paskin la halacha? This is the $1 million question, right? Everyone should have been waiting Friday night with the challah in their hand, not sure what to do. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Mishoimer, says the Mechaim Shulchan Aruch. Some people hold the davar shenefai nitzla, something which was baked or roasted, in bishlo achkach b'mashke, if you then turn around and cook it in water, yesh mishom bishlo, there would be a violation of bishul. And therefore you would not be allowed to put your bread even into a klisheni that's still yatzela. That is the shita of the Yireim. As we mentioned before, the Mishnah Berurah explains that this is the Yireim who took two chumras. Chumra number one is that bread is kali abishul. Chumra number two is yesh bishul acharafiyah. The yesh matirim says the Mechaber, but there are those who permit it. Permit what? Permit putting bread into your challah. What kli, says the Ramah, hagol klisheni. Why? Why is the Yesh Matim of the Shulchan Aruch? So we mentioned last week, there's two possibilities. Either you can go like the Ravon, who holds bread can't be cooked again, or he holds that Yireim is wrong. There's no such thing called Safek Kali Abishal. Nothing is Kali Abishal. What's the Nafkamina? What would the Mechaber hold if I want to put a vegetable into my soup bowl? If the reason why he's matri is because ein bishal acharafiyah, that's not going to help for a raw vegetable is still able to be cooked. But if he holds that the reason why yesh matirim is because nothing cooks in the klisheni, like the Gemara says, so you can put anything into the klisheni. You can put raw vegetables, you can put spices, whatever you want. So we mentioned it seems to be two opinions. Mishnah Berurah goes that way, that the reason for the yesh matirim is because nothing cooks in the klisheni. Which means for Svardim, they have no problem. Svardim can put anything they want into their soup bowl. They could put raw vegetables and they could put bread, anything they want, because they follow the idea that nothing cooks in a klisheni. But the Ber HaGoyla learned not like that. The Ber HaGoyla on the side of the Shulchan Aruch learned, no. The reason for the Yesh Matirim is because they hold like the Ravon. And the Ravon holds bread can't be baked again. But something which was never yet cooked, like a raw vegetable, that potentially could be subjected to the rules of Bishul. So that's for the Svardim. What about Achenu B'nei Ashkenaz? HaGoh? Says the Rama, V'yesh mekilim afilu b'kli rishon. Some are mekil even in a kli rishon. How can you justify putting bread into a kli rishon? The answer is because you hold ein b'shalach afia. If ein b'shalach afia, then there's no problem. V'noagu, what is the common custom, says the Shulchan Aruch? Lizor lechadchila shalit and pas afilu b'kli sheni kol zman shayatzel adispo. We Ashkenazim Jews are machmer for the Yireim. We do not put our challah into a kli sheni that's a yatzel adis. Which means, according to the Mishnah Rama Shulchan Aruch, Ashkenazim Jews should not be allowed to dip their challah into the soup as long as the soup is very hot. If the soup drops down, you'll have to decide who you want to go like. Reb Aaron Cutler 120, Reb Moshe 110, others 96, whatever it's going to be. But you got to figure out who you want to paskin. You got to wait till the soup drops on the yatzel adis, and then you can dunk your bread into it.
But by putting in the bread, it'll drop it right away.
Right, but then you'll be in a violation already, because once you stuck the bread in, you caused bishul on the bread. You caused the bread to cook. So now that the bread cooked, you're going to be in violation of bishul. To which the Yireim thinks might be in the Siddur Raisa, believe it or not. Can you imagine this? A person takes his little piece of challah and puts it into the soup. Innocently, you know, according to the Yireim, it's a suffix of Siddur Raisa.
The Yireim, even with a drop below, that's a letter should be
Possibly. No one could tell. The truth is, we don't know what the Atzalah this is. Even if we start touching it and playing around, the Chazon Ish has this comment. It's so hard for us to know. You know, many Mefarshim point this out. People test the Atzalah by touching the outside of the bowl. That is not a fair way of testing Atzalah. It's about the inside of the bowl, not the outside of the bowl. So you got to really figure it out. So according to the Ramah, if we were to stop right here, we'd be in big trouble. Because what's our soup bowl? Our soup bowl is a klisheni, right? The soup pot. If you'd be in, let's say, in yeshiva or in camp, where they put it into a third pot, they serve it on the table, there's a communal bowl, and then you put it into your bowl, so then your bowl is a klishlishi. But the truth is, we saw the Yireim, it doesn't make a difference. We'll see if that's the way it passes the halacha, but that's what the Yireim says. So if we're going to follow the Yireim, at home we're really in trouble. Now we're going to try tonight to come up with a bunch of heterim to how we can justify being able to put your bread into your soup and not feel guilty about it. But the simple reading of the Ramah, we're all in trouble. We should not be allowed to put our bread or our matzah into the soup. Again, you'd be able to put certain types of croutons if the croutons were already cooked. If they were bishul. If they were nefa, if they were baked croutons, then you have the same problem. So you got to find out how they make your croutons. The yellow ones versus the breaded ones, you got to just know what you're getting depending on what you want to put into your soup. But let's say you want to put a vegetable into your soup. I know turnips. And my family, my kids like to do, they put the turnip into the soup. That's for sure a problem. That's a klisheni. This is raw. Unless you hold, like the ravon, that nothing cooks in a klisheni. Other than that, you're going to be in trouble. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Now, so the Yireim, that's what we need to get to. When the Yireim suggests bread, and this is part of the Chazon Ish's agenda, did he mean bread and anything, or just bread? Meaning, which part of the Yireim is the main focal point? Is the bread the main focal point, or is everything and anything? It depends where you start reading in the Yireim, the top or the bottom part of the Yireim. Now, just to note, halacha l'maisa, Mishnah Berurah Paskins, if we look at number three, very important halacha l'maisa, let's say someone doesn't know that. Let's say he forgets and he takes his challah and he dips it in. Can he eat the challah now? And normally we don't have a vashal b'shabbos, so b'shoigig, assuming the guy's a shoigig, right? So that you're not allowed to eat it. So is this fellow allowed to eat that piece of challah? So Mishnah Berurah Paskins in number three is a bunch of Mishnah Berurahs over there. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, well, in Sivkotin Memvov, he says, let's say this guy thought he was going to do a favor for the family. So he took the baked croutons and he sprinkled the baked croutons into the soup bowl itself, and then he dished out the soup for the family. So the shaila is, did he just ruin it for everyone? Says Mishnah Berurah, no, don't worry. The guy did not ruin it for everyone, because he can always be samech on the other Rishayim that hold Ein B'Shalach HaFiyah, and therefore Ein B'Shalach HaFiyah, he didn't do anything. So lechatchila, the food does not become affected. Says the Mishnah Berurah, going back to the first list of Mishnah Berurahs of Kut Membeis, a very important line. Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'hu adin l'deya zu yesh l'hach menami b'shar dvarim shloi litnam b'klisheni. Says the Mishnah Berurah, according to Magen Avraham, is that since the Ramah told me I'm not allowed to put my bread into my klisheni, the bread is not the only thing I can't put into my bread, my klisheni. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Allah Almighty, you can't put anything into a klisheni, because everything and anything potentially could be kalei bishul. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, Halacha L'maisa, you can't put anything into a klisheni, because you don't know what kalei bishul is anymore. We have no idea.
But we do know that kalei bishul.
We just know that shemen and mayim is definitely not. But the question is, what about the other way? So we would have assumed, what do you mean? The Mishnah told you what Kali Abishal is. It told you it's a salted fish and this Kalos Aspanimus, whatever these things are.
Spanish mackerel.
So this is where the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ishav Machlokes. Mishnah Berurah says, no, those were merely examples. Or maybe that's what we knew back then. But
those are examples of things that cook very, very easily.
That's correct.
A piece of steak doesn't cook very easily.
So that's the Chazon Ishav's time. We'll get to that. That's why the Chazon Ish disagrees with this Mishnah Berurah. He thinks, no, fuck it, go the other way. Assume nothing is Kali Abishal, unless what was given to be is Kali Abishal. But it's a Machlokes Mishnah Berurah and Chazon Ish. Now, another important Mishnah Berurah, which Blineda will come back to, is Sivkat Mem Zayin. What about a Kli Shlishi? What about dipping bread into a Kli Shlishi? Let's say, for example, you're in an event. You're at an event where they put the soup bowl in a big soup, a communal soup bowl. And then you dish into your bowl. So your bowl now is a Kli Shlishi. Right? The soup pot's Kli Rishon. The communal serving bowl is a Kli Sheni. And now you're a Kli Shlishi. Would you be then allowed to dip your challah in? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkat in Mem Zayin. Ube Kli Shlishi? Mitzad Yapim Agadim Sivkat in Lahakal. If you can somehow get your soup bowl to be a Kli Shlishi, then you're okay. Now, how can I get my bowl to be a Kli Shlishi? So one way is if you have a communal serving bowl. But there's another way. If you use a ladle, which we'll talk more about tonight, Belinad. If you use a ladle, so if you hold that a ladle becomes a Kli Sheni, so the soup pot's a Kli Rishon, the ladle is a Kli Sheni, my soup bowl is a Kli Shlishi, I'm good to go now, according to Mishnah Berurah.
So they're all ignoring the Urim.
They're all ignoring. This is a connect. Mamish connected to the Urim. It's a pellet to me. I saw some Achrayim to point this out, but it's unbelievable. The Urim says clear. Afilu b'kli shlishi. Yet we go like the Prima Gadam, and we'll have to talk more about where this Prima Gadam comes from. But that's what Mr. Brewer paskens.
Prima Gadam was a Rishon?
No, Prima Gadam was an Achrayim. It was an Achrayim.
The Urim was a
Rishon. Yeah, the Urim. I'm curious how much of it they had. I wonder if they had the whole statement or fragments of it, because if you look in the Mordechai, when the Mordechai quoted, he did not quote it the way it's over here. He quoted fragments of it. So I wonder if they didn't have the full text like we have today. So again, how do we pass in Allah l'maisa with Kali Abishal? So according to the Mishnah Berurah, everything and anything is Kali Abishal. Says the Chazon Ish number 4, not so fast. Says the Chazon Ish, V'onu noigim l'hachmer kasmag, even though we're noig to be machmer about bread, because of Mishnah Berurah cut men beis b'shem amagen Avram, the yesh l'hachmer b'chol dover shein hetem mevor b'gemara, miu yeshloim akim the mayim b'shem mevor b'gemara she'em is bashlim b'kisheni. Says the Chazon Ish, we do have a precedent in the Gemara. The Gemara did tell us that water and oil definitely do not cook in a klisheni. Says the Chazon Ish, ein l'hachmer rak b'pasim mevor b'smag. Says the Chazon Ish, not like the Magen Avram and the Mishnah Berurah. Magen Avram and Mishnah Berurah thought that bread was merely an example of Kali Abishal. Says the Chazon Ish, no, only bread is suffic Kali Abishal. Why? An interesting svara. B'shem shukvar afuyu noich lesbashal. I don't understand it from a scientific point, but because it was already baked, that somehow makes it easier to cook. I don't know why it should be that way. Avoloi b'shadover, says the Chazon Ish, but don't think anything else is Kali Abishal. I guess somehow, something like that, some scientific, takes longer to cook. So therefore, says the Chazon Ish, exactly the opposite of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah held everything and anything is Kali Abishal, except for the two things that were not. Says the Chazon Ish, no, the other way. Everything is presumed not to be Kali Abishal. Either Smag talks about bread. Yeah, bread is unique because it's already cooked. So according to the Chazon Ish, if let's say I want to put a vegetable into my Kli Sheni, that's okay, no problem. You want to take a vegetable, let's say you woke up late and you realize, oy vey. So again, let's say go this way. Let's say your wife realizes that the soup pot, after she takes it off the fire, is missing a carrot. So I'll throw a carrot in now. That's a problem. That's a Kli Rishon. That's for sure going to be a problem. But let's say you decide, you know what, I'll throw it into my own bowl. I'll cut up a carrot and put it into my own bowl. So that's a Kli Sheni. A Kli Sheni is only a Shail of Kali Abishal. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, that's awesome. Kosafik, according to the Chazon Ish, that's okay. There's no reason to assume that it's a problem. What would the Chazon Ish hold about a tea bag? What would a tea bag be? So I thought, according to the Chazon Ish, a tea bag would be mutter. We'll see that maybe the Chazon Ish would agree that there are certain things that you have to at least suspect to be a Kali Abishal. Maybe not a carrot or a potato, but maybe tea bags. They're so thin, they're so small, maybe they're also Kali Abishal. That's where the whole shaila about tea bags start. Because by the time you make tea, if you're making the Kli Sheni, what's the problem? Things don't cook in the Kli Sheni. The answer is because we have this Mishnah Berurah. This Mishnah Berurah told us that everything and anything is Kali Abishal, so now we're stuck. So let's see what the Chazon Ish would say. Then the Chazon Ish says, "V'omnam, however, the vashel bayo b'kli sheni sheyatz alezba vade aser." The Chazon Ish will hold you can't cook eggs in a kli sheni, even though he thought nothing is kali abishal, but he thinks eggs are. Sheimis bashelas b'kli sheni. So that means even the Chazon Ish is open to the possibility that there are things that could be Kali Abish. So if Machlokes is Mishnah Berurah and Chazon Ish, how do you rule Machlokes is Mishnah Berurah and Chazon Ish? I don't know. So Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi has a tshuva in Or Yitzchak. Well, he it's poshut him. He writes, someone asked him, Ma'u adin lahalocha b'hagdor shel Kali Abishal? What is the rules of Kali Abishal? Tshuva, hakol mutter b'klisheini. Everything's mutter. For the choshem mikali abishal el rak advarim shem froshem b'gemara. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi, I'm going with the Chazon Ish, not with the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham. I think Kali Abishal are only the things described by the Gemara, and nothing that's not described by Gemara, you don't have to worry. So you could put vegetables in, you could put anything you want in, because nothing's Kali Abishal. He writes in number 6, in this, the Sefer O Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi, Shalos and Chuvah, is two volumes, Chelik Aleph and Chelik Beis. The first Chuvah is a Chelik Aleph. The second Chuvah that I have over here, number 6, is a Chelik Beis. In a Chelik Beis, he writes, V'yaf b'ishan Chazon Ish, atzmei choy shalachim b'glal ha-magen avrom, v'mishnah berurah. There's a problem when you read through the Chazon Ish, at one line, it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah does hold of the Magen Avram, or at least by Egzi does. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi, Milkom Okim B'ikra Adin Vadei Shu Sover, Shemotu V'chin Ani Poisik V'hoylich L'Shoalim Oisi. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi, I'm convinced, and this is what I tell all people who ask me, nothing cooks in the Klisheini, there's no such thing called Kali Abishal, don't worry about it. Maybe bread you have to worry about because of the Urain, but other than that, you don't have to lose sleep over. Okay. Now, what else can potentially be Kali Abishal? So Mishnah Berurah writes over here, he's talking about number 7. Says in Mishnah Berurah, Pirish, She'ein noisim lechem b'merik shal ha-cholent. You're not allowed to put bread into the sauce of the cholent, or into a cholent. Be'ka'ara she'hi klisheni. Into a pot, to your plate, that's a klisheni. Let's say you want to dip your chal into your cholent. A very popular thing to do. If the cholent is yatzir lettuce, you're going to have a problem. If it's at least a liquidy chalent, maybe if it's a solid as well, the chol shekain sheyizor shel aris and the klirishin, you definitely can't pour your chalent onto here because we know irui might have a din of a klirishin. Va'oisim shechoytchem habitzolim. What about onions? Onions. Let's say you want to put onions into your soup. Let's say you realize that the soup needs onions. So your wife decides before she serves the soup, she'll cut up a bunch of onions and dump it into the soup pot, stir it around, and then serve it to the family. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you got a big problem with onions. Why? V'noisim teicha merik. Lo yisimu b'kara. You can't. Lo yisimu rak achish lo yitei asalez b'merik. You cannot put onions into some form of a liquid, into a sauce, if it's yatzir lettuce. Why? D'belechem yesh kula machmas shenefa. When it comes to bread, nu, you can be saimich yesh bish ein bish alach arviya. V'afil hochi nizar. Kol shekein b'bitzalim shetzarech lizar. You cannot put onions into it. We no longer know anymore what's Kali Abishal. Okay, so if you look at the Shaar HaTzion in 7b, the Shaar HaTzion writes, who says that onions are Kali Abishal? It's a Taz. Points at the Shaar HaTzion, after Magen Avraham Misif Kod Mashmash Esriulei, the Tzolim Dina Ki Tavlin. Let's remind ourselves from last week, we had a Mishnah that said Tavlin are definitely not Kali Abishal. What does Tavlin translate in learning? Spices. Now, so the Magen Avraham and the Taz of Machlokes, what's the status of onions? Are onions like a spice, or are onions like Kali Abishal? So Mishnah Berurah is going like the Magen Avraham, like the Taz. That the Taz holds that onions are Kali Abishal. The Magen Avraham holds, no, they're not Kali Abishal. They're actually the opposite. They have the status of a Tavlin. Says the Mishnah Berurah, although I know that there's such a Machlokes Taz and Magen Avraham, but over here I'm ruling like the Taz, and I'm not going like the Magen Avraham. So we know that onions are a machlokes. Onions you should stay away from, according to the Mishnah Berurah. According to the Chazon Ish, you're okay with onions. You want to put onions into your klisheni, no problem. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, if you're going to put onions into your klisheni, you're going to have big problems. There's a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah in Shabbos says, "Amoitzi etzim." If a person carries wood, kedei levashel be'a kala, if he wants enough to cook an egg, tavlin. If he carries spices, what's the word tavlin mean in the Mishnah? We had a Mishnah in Shabbos that said tavlin is not Kali Abishal. Says it's Tveres Yisrael, what's tavlin? Shumim ubitzolim. Right? Onions are considered tavlin. So if an onion is considered a tavlin, then it's not Kali Abishal. So this is part of the Machlokes Achrayim, whether or not onions are considered Kali Abishal. The Velt assumes to be machmer like the Mishnah Berurah. So therefore, you should not put onions or, what's the other one? Onions and Shumim betzulim, I always forget. The onions and garlic, what's the other one? I always forget how it goes. So those things you should not put into a klisheni, according to the Mishnah Berurah. Because we're choshish for the Taz against the Magen Avraham. What about our spices? What are our spices considered? So according to the simple reading, I can take let's say I get my soup bowl and it needs spices. So can I put spices into my soup bowl? So says Reb Shlomo Zalman. So Pashup Shai. You say, of course. The Mishnah said in Shabbos, Tavlin or not Kali Abishal. So if Tavlin or not Kali Abishal, there's no problem. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, not so fast. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, number 10. Shemati Me'agunim Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Tolei Mestavrish Heim Tavlinim Haragilim Beinenim. The tavlin of the Mishnah is not our spices. Shehim boyim mahatim atavshel. The kivin shehim dakin ma'oid, kol shekein shehim is bashlim gam b'klisheini. Argued the Reb Shlomo Zalman that the spices of the Mishnah times and the spices of today are made differently. Ours are much thinner. They're so easily cooked. So according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, you may not put spices into your klisheini because they are kali abishel or sothic kali abishel. What about salt? So salt, they say, is pre-cooked. Salt, they say, is pre-cooked. Reb Shimon Ayyad writes in the Sefer that he spoke to experts, and the salt that we have in our home is cooked before first. It's the special in the factory. Therefore, it's ein bishel acha bishel. It's not a problem to put salt in. It's a mefurish in Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, well, it's on the paper somewhere here. It's later on. Mishnah Berurah says that because we had a Gemara. We learned the Gemara last week. At the Gemara, two lashonis, what's the status of salt? So the Mishnah Berurah points out, what salt are we talking about? He says, that's salt that's not our salt, but salt that's made and cooked first. And Bishlach HaBishl. Said Reb Shimon Ayyad, that's the way our salt is processed. Again, the Sefer was written 30, 40 years ago. I don't know if things have changed. That's something we can Google today and find out how they make salt. But if the way salt is made, I think this is the way Rabbi Ribia writes it in his Sefer. I think he assumes like that's Metzias. That salt is cooked first. So, Ein Bishlach HaBishl. You can even put salt technically in a Kli Rishon Shleya Gabiesh. Let's say your wife comes to the Supan and she realizes, oy vey, there's no salt in there. I forgot to put in salt. So that she should take it off the fire, that's for sure. And me'ikaradin, she could put salt in there at that time. There are those that are machmir, not to ever put anything into a kli rishon. But then you could put salt in your own bowl. That's for sure you can do. But spices, according to Reb Shlomo, not the other ones, just salt. Not the other things that were not pre-cooked. Reb Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, in Igros Moshe Arachayim Chelik Dalet, number 7c, where he was also asked, what about lemons? What's a lemon considered? Let's say you want to have a cup of tea, so you want to have a lemon in your tea. So he was also talking about betzalim. Betzalim and lemon, are they kali abishal? So Reb Moshe answered, betzalim mefurish baruch hashulchan, du ketavlin shemot b'klisheni. The baruch hashulchan weighed in our betzalim. Again, betzalim we mentioned is machlokes magen avraham and taz, is a kali abishal or not? The baruch hashulchan root, it's not. It's motan b'klisheni. V'ataz oser b'betzalim. We mentioned that the Mishnah Berurah went with that. Again, this is one of those times it's kedai to note. We normally assume magen avraham and taz, usually we go like the magen avraham. So here's one of the rare examples. There's many of them, but it's always worth mentioning when they come up. Here's an example where the Mishnah Berurah is going like the Taz, and not like the Magen Avraham, which is not the norm. He therefore says the Mishnah Berurah, says Rav Moshe, v'hataz oiseh b'betzalim, avol reyosem v'ashem antikim v'yosem ein araya. Okay, part of the discussion is something that is sharp. Does that make it harder to cook? Or does that make it easier to cook? Is sharpness play a role in its cooking capability? That's part of the machlokes. So Rav Moshe doesn't like the raya, and he comes out at the end. Ulechein yesh lachem kitaz, says Rav Moshe, Allah l'maisa like the taz, but he doesn't like his reasoning. He has a different reason. Concludes Rav Moshe, Ella, but mishum di yesh dvar mishum is bashlam b'klisheni v'lo yodol lanu. Since we don't know what cooks in a klisheni, avu b'klishlishi mutter. But again, if you can somehow figure out how your soup bowl was to be a klishlishi, then you could put pretty much anything in it. That's a question. V'lemonim. Moshe thinks Kali Abishal is lemon, yes, and therefore lemon's not in a klisheni, but yes, into a klisheni. Now, so it makes it easier or harder to cook? Harder to cook.
No, I mean, that's...
The cooking on...
It's liquid.
I mean, you're cooking the liquid of the lemon.
Yeah.
That's always a question of how to look at a salad that has liquid in it as well. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav assumes if you look at it and you see, your perception looks at it as a salad, we look at it as a salad. So I guess lemon would be like that also. So often the shaykh, let's say saucy chicken, people always clear. If you have a piece of chicken that has some sauce on it, is that now a davar yavish or is that a davar lach? How do you look at it? That's a shaykh. Now, that's what we got to get to now. So let's talk about a klishlishi. What do we have? We had the Prima Garden thought that a klishlishi is mutter. So according to this is a very big kula. Meaning, if you can make your soup all a klishlishi, basically all the problems are solved. You can put everything you want in there. Says the chazanish, whoa, wait a klishlishi. Not according to the Rebbe, according to the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Chazon Ish, number 11, one second. Well, they need klishlishi. B'mokim sheklisheni asa kingayim pas. Oy betzolim adas achreinim achmirim. Kosev Mishnah Berurah, people got mitzad l'hokel. Frek the Chazon Ish, v'loy mitzidu mekol l'chalik ben sheni l'shlishi. I don't get it, says the Chazon Ish. Why? If you think that things can cook in a klisheni, why shouldn't they cook in a klishlishi? The imid dvar mispashlim b'sheni mispashlim b'shlishi. Says the Chazanish, I don't get it. Clearly the Chazanish didn't have our Yireim, because it's a Mefurshah Yireim. So I saw later, I think I saw one of the Dirshu Mishtaburas, they point out, they said that the Yireim is clearly a riot to the Chazanish, and the Kasha and the Mishtaburah. I'm convinced they didn't have this Yireim that we have. That's why I started with this Yireim. Once you have the Yireim, it's clear. The Yireim says there's no difference between the Klisha and the Klishlishi. Says the Chazanish, I don't get it. He's asking from a Lomdusha standpoint, the Chazanish is attacking. He's saying, I don't get it. Think about it. If you tell me things cook in the cliche, and you say, why shouldn't they cook in the cliche? It says the Chazanish, Veina davatoli ela be'im ha'mayim shayu chamim shayat ha'ledes. Then there's another, there's a chayodam that holds that things can cook in a klisheni and a klishlishi if they're very hot. If they're yad nichvis, a level above yad tzeledes, which can also backfire on many of us. Because if you have piping hot soup, even if you can justify your bowl as being a klishlishi, you're still going to be stuck. Because if it's yad nichvis, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a chayodam that holds yad nichvis cooks everywhere and anywhere, even in a klisheni. So you're going to be stuck. Now, how hot is Yad Nichvas? We're going to have to get to, hopefully. So it says the Chazanish doesn't really buy into this. On top of that says, Umiyu kivin she'en el churma b'mashe nogu nogu, v'alaroiv in klishli she'yatza lezes l'chenekil. Says the Chazanish, there's a practical element. Chances are, it won't be yatza lezes, which yesh lodin. Depends how you calculate yatza lezes. Not necessarily true. If you get the first soup bowl out of the oven, off the pot, and you're very close to the kitchen, I don't know why it wouldn't be yatza lezes. If you hold a ladle, let's assume for tonight that the ladle counts as a kli. So you'll have soup pot is kli rishon, ladle is kli sheni, and your bowl is kli shishi. I don't see why it won't be piping hot. Why it won't be at least 110 degrees? It definitely could be. So there you're going to run yourself back into trouble. If you're going to be choishish for the chazanish, you're back to square one. So the answer is no, we're going to take the Mishnah Berurah. Right, this is what everyone plays. They play this game both ways. They'll take the Mishnah Berurah for Kli Shlishi. They'll take the Chazanish for Kali Abishal, and they'll be matter everything. Okay? Yeah, it's not so honest, but that's what people do. So Reb Eliashiv is quoted as saying that Lamaisa, what can I do with my challah? Says Reb Eliashiv number 12. V'shamati ma'agoyin Reb Eliashiv, so this is Shvos Yitzchak, written by Yitzchak Zilberstein, Reb Eliashiv's father-in-law. Ibn Yashav's son-in-law, where he writes that his father-in-law held that Shinosan eats a litin pasuk klishlishi. That Rabbi Yashav thought that you should feel very comfortable putting your challah into a klishlishi. Why? Because first of all, klishlishi itself is a shayla. On top of that, pas acharafiyah is a shayla. So Rabbi Yashav thought you put the things together, you'll be okay. Which is really what the Mishnah Berurah said. So again, if you can somehow figure out how your soup bowl is a klishlishi, you should have no problems. Now, There were achronim that held that you have to be machmir klishlishi. Not only the Chazanish, Peskei Tshuva and Yeridaya quotes from Achsam Sofer and others that thought like the Chazanish. Klisheni, klishlishi, it's all the same. But lemaisa, many people hold not like that. I saw some achronim that make a deal. If you go back to the lashon of the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah wasn't really matrid. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he just writes ube klishlishi mitzadei da primogodim lohakel. There's room to be makel. He didn't sound like openly dip your challah into it. He meant that it's not the end of the world if you do it. There are those Acharonim who want to think that the Mishnah Berurah wasn't signing off that everyone could dip their challah in their soup. He just meant that it's not the end of the world. But Rabbi Yashiv held, and that's clear from over here, that according to Rabbi Yashiv, you can sleep easily at night knowing dipping your challah into a klishlishi. But how can I make my soup bowl into a klishlishi? This is the magic trick for tonight. If I can make my soup bowl a klishlishi, I can dip my challah without a problem. How do I make my soup bowl a klishlishi? Doesn't make sense. The pot is a klishlishin, my bowl is a klishlishi. That's it. So if you'd be at an event or at a camp or in yeshiva where they give you a communal serving bowl, that's the best thing in the world. But how do I make my soup bowl a klishlish? So one of the answers is the ladle. What's the halachic status of a ladle? A ladle is a unique thing. What's the ladle? It's a kli that gets submerged into the kli rishon and then goes into the kli, the next kli. So we have the idea that the walls play a very important role. So when you put something into a ladle, you're losing the heat of the wall. Now it's the heat of the ladle. The heat of the ladle is not nearly as hot as the heat of the kli rishon. So what's the status of a ladle? If you can tell me that a ladle is the status of a kli sheni, so we solved all our problems. The ladle is a kli sheni. My soup bowl is a kli shlishi. Beautiful. Everything's mutter.
Don't we hold like kasher and you can't use a ladle?
So the problem is, there's conflicting reports in the Mishnah Berurah himself on what to treat a ladle. We'll go with one. This idea of the ladle is based on a marshal. The marshal has this discussion. And again, this is not really it's really in Hilchos Pesach, in Kashering. It's not really in Shabbos. We're borrowing it for Shabbos. But the question is, what do you do with a ladle? What's the status of a ladle? So the Mishnah Berurah writes by us in number 14. This is in Hilchos Shabbos. Says in Mishnah Berurah, Kli Sheni. He's going on the Mechaber that describes a Kli Sheni. What's a Kli Sheni? So we know a Kli Sheni is the secondary Kli after the first one. Kli Rishon is the thing it was cooked in or heated up in. Kli Sheni is the second. Says in Mishnah Berurah, Kli Sheni Mikri Kishi Iru Min Kli Rishon. You pour it off into the Kli Rishon. Shehesichu HaChamin B'Seichoy L'Toich Kli Zeh. Umotu Afilu Meyatza Ladez Ba. Avalim Sho'ov Mikli Reikon. Mitoich Kli Rishon. If you scooped up from an empty Kli Rishon that was emerged in the first one, i.e. a ladle. What's a ladle? Yesh im zinik Kli Rishon. Some people hold a ladle as a Kli Rishon, which does not help us. We don't want a ladle to be a Kli Rishon. We want a ladle to be a Kli Sheni. So according to this, Mr. Brewer, we're back to square one. Ubefrat im mishoach Kli Reikon betoich ad shemal resich. Says the Mr. Brewer, on top of that, if you left the ladle in the soup pot and it retained the heat of the pot, it's for sure going to be a Kli Rishon. Then vade mikli Kli Rishon. What do you see clearly from this Mishnah Berurah? That if you want to get your ladle to be a Kli Sheni, leave it out of the pot. So tell your wife when she's dishing the soup, don't leave it submerged and take a break and go take care of other things and come. Meaning, very often if you're dishing for many people, so you'll serve, you'll dish it, and then you'll put it back in and you'll take care of other things, you'll clean up things in the kitchen, and you'll come back and you pick up where you left off. That hurts your case. Make sure you keep the ladle outside the pot. This way it never gets so hot. But this Mishnah Berurah, the simple reading of this Mishnah Berurah sounds like what? It sounds like it's not going to help you. That the status of the ladle is the status of the ladle is still going to be a Kli Rishon. The problem is, there's other Mishnah Berurahs that I put it over here. I don't remember if I put it over here. There's other Mishnah Berurahs that seem to hold not like that. That seem to hold that a ladle has a din of a Kli Sheni. So how do we make it all work out? So if you look at number 15 in Ashri Ish from Rabbi Yashiv, they ask like this: Kav shaloichem ima mikli Rishon din of a Kli Sheni. The Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like in one place that has a din of a Kli Sheni. Umeidach katzav Mishnah Berurah shadinik a Kli Rishon. Ubiya Rabbeinu Rabbi Yashiv explained the ain't stir b'divrei Mishnah Berurah. It's not really a stir. The lechatchila dinik a Kli Rishon. Back to the evidence, you're a Mishnah Berurah Kli Sheni, which again doesn't really help us. It means post factor. You want to know after the fact? It's really a Kli Sheni. The Minchas Yitzchok has a little bit of a better take on it. He writes, it's a machloikis. He ne poshut kiven the yesh plukta im kav she tachvu the Kli Rishon yesh din Kli Rishon kim vor betaz biyardeya memela have a sveik adina. It's at least a suffik. Okay, besafik should make Kli Rishon l'sheni. If it's a question of making it a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni, hechmir. U besafik should make Kli Sheni l'shlishi heikel. That's what we need it to be. Because by us, the ladle is going to make it from being a Kli Shlishi, oh, then you could be Mekel. V'hachilik move on. And it's Pasha, it should be like that. Okay. So therefore, according to the Menachas Yitzchak, we can breathe a little easier and say Mistama the Mishnah Berurah was Mekel, and therefore we can assume that the ladle, assuming you don't leave it in the pot too long, is a Kli Sheni. My soup bowl is a Kli Shlishi. All is okay if my soup bowl is a Kli Shlishi. And that's the way the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chase Paskins like that. He writes, L'fichach osa litin lechem hamerek or lechem b'teich hamerek. You can't dip your challah into your soup or litvul beskutim, biscuits. U'matzos b'teich hateh ki yaitzeboi kasha hamerek hayateh b'kli rishon. V'chin osa la'aros aleh b'kli rishon v'gamein l'sitem b'kli sheni. You can't even put it into a Kli Sheni. Ulam! Then yinzeh! But for this halacha, with at least chala, because as it is, you could be mekel that ain't bishalach rafia. Therefore, says the Shmir Shabbos, yesh makom lahakel v'litin lechem b'merik shehutak mekli rishon lo tuchatz aleches ba'ezras mitzekes. Oh, gevaldik. So we can be saying over here that your soup balls are Kli Shlishi, your soup balls are Kli Shlishi. Again, you can't hold it to Chazon Ish, because the Chazon Ish will tell you it doesn't matter. Kli Shlishi is the same as a Kli Sheni. But if you're going to be a Mishnah Berurah guy and say, Mishnah Berurah is Mekel, Prima Kadosh is Mekel, so you can dip your challah in without being so concerned. Reb Yitzchak Gabari paskens in the Sefer Or Yitzchak, what's the status of a ladle? He writes, Hakav shemetzim by merik mekli rishon shaleish. It depends. Im shorem hakav mekli rishon ad shereseich gam asher b'teich hakav have a Kli Rishon v'mlav lo have a Kli Sheni. So he goes straight to the matter of fact. It depends how long and how hot the ladle gets. If you leave the ladle in the pot, it's a Kli Rishon. If you leave the ladle outside the pot, it's a Kli Sheni. So according to him, best bet, leave the ladle, just dish and get out. Don't keep the ladle sitting around. Okay, so that's one way out of it. But there's another problem. Even if I could tell you that my soup bowl is a Kli Shlishi, we're still going to have a problem. Why? If you look back, the Mishnah Berurah quoted a Chai Adam. The Chai Adam writes that if you have Yad Nichvis, if you look at Mishnah Berurah number 3, the last set of Mishnah Berurah, he quotes a Chai Adam. The Chai Adam says that if the content is above Yatzei Lades, It's what we call Yad Nechves, Lukuliyama, Mavasha, Filip, Klisheini. The Chayodan pulled out a Gevaldik Chumra, where he thinks that if you have something that is so hot, it's what we call Yad Nechves. Yad Nechves means you pull your hand back. Yad Nechves means you actually get burnt. Then anything and everything can cook no matter where you put it. So now we're back to square one. Even if I could tell you my soup pile is Klisheini, but if it's Yad Nechves, if it's piping, piping hot, so then I might not be allowed to put it in anyways. What? So it says Rabbi Yashiv, number 19. Shemati Magen Rabbi Yashiv Shlita. The Yad Nichves Hainu Shein Yochel Hachnas Yodav Lamayim Beli Lekabel Kviya. Without mamash getting a burn. I don't know which level burn, which degree burn is he referring to. He says, Vim Yochel Hachnas Lohitzi Beli Kviya Ain't Yad Nichves. If you could put your finger into, stick your finger into the bowl and you won't get burned, it's not Yad Nichves. So it sounds like Rabbi Yashiv, we're not playing with this with these numbers. This is not our soup. Because you'd burn yourself. It's not a yeh. However, the Chazinish also discusses this Yad Nechves, and he completely disregards this Chazinish, this Chayadim. He says the whole Chayadim is a Pella. What was the Chayadim talking about? The Chayadim was not written in Hilchas Bishul B'Shabbos. The Chayadim was written in Hilchas Maisris. Says the Chazinish, Avam Amayim Roischim B'yoyis Yishiyar Odom Nechves Yesh Bishul B'Klisheini B'chol Dover. Where does Chai Odom get this new chiddush about Yad Lichvas? He got it from a Rambam Hilchas Maaser that was talking about if you have something that's cooked and if it's nigmar melachtoi and now becomes chayiv and maaser. Nothing to do with bishul on Shabbos. It has to do with bishul gabe nigmar melachtoi. So if it says a chazanish that has nothing to do with Shabbos, and therefore he says, the Bavli argues. But he writes, says the Chazanish, although I disagree with the Chayadim, I'm not willing to get rid of him so quickly. The Chayadim was a Choshev Yid. Chayadim carries a lot of weight, although I disagree and I don't think it's a fair sushtel, but I'm not willing to just disregard it. Says the Chazanish, if you're willing to accept, then everything falls away. Because once everything's Yad Nichves, Betzel, game's over. We no longer can tell the difference. Now, I don't know if the Chazanish was working with Rabbi Yashav's Geder. We can't tell the difference. We can tell a big difference when you get a burn and when you don't get a burn. But the Chazanish thought, no, that we don't know anymore. We can't tell the difference. So you always have to be choishish that your soup bowl might be Yad Nichves. So now the question is, do I have to be machmir for Yad Nichves in a Kli Shlishi? Now, again, that's like piling chumras upon chumras. We'll see Lamaisa that the Achreinim hold you don't have to. But if you want to be a real frumah, so you'll say, I'll take the Chayadim with the Chazanish, which means I'm taking the Yad Nechves, with the Chazanish, I don't know what Yad Nechves is, and on top of that, I'm taking Kli Shlishi, so then I can't get my soup anymore into the Chal. Okay? So therefore, says the Chazanish, Ubalav achi noigim lachim b'klishein of Yatzel Ledes, v'achreinim, v'gam shemichzik v'vashal, okay, umiyu, me'ikar ad denir the ain isa b'klishein, afilu Yad Nechves, I don't really think it's also. Kivin dole his kiwiz ha'poiskim arif v'arosh v'arambam, v'asmag lo'asu el b'pas. Okay. Says, the problem is I found the Gevaldik Beis Yosef. There seems to be a Beis Yosef that's kemat mefurish against the Chayadim. What was the Chayadim's chiddush? That although the Gemara says things don't cook in a klisheni, but if the heat is very hot, then it could. Says the Beis Yosef in number 21 in Simen Kofei, he says, Aval klisheni she'en dafnois of chamin, klisheni where the walls are not hot, v'hoiluchu miskara, they cool down, that's like Tosfos in Shabbos that we saw last week, Aval gav diyatzal, there's ainu mevashel. Even if it's boiling hot, like the same temperature on the klisheni, ain't a mevashel, it still can't cook. So I saw Achreinim want to tell you that this Beis Yosef seems to be a raya against the Chayadim. It seems to be saying that nothing can ever take place in a klisheni, which is a raya against the Chayadim. So what do we do with the Chayadim again? So if you accept the Chayadim and your soup is boiling hot, and you accept the Chazanish that we no longer know what is, so now we're back to square one. Unless you can make your soup all a Kli Shlishi. If you can make your soup all a Kli Shlishi, then you can be Mekel. Says 24 from Rebbe Eliashiv, for Omer Rabbeinu Shedina Chayodim Hu B'Teres Chumro, the Medina Mashma that it's Mutter. Ulechatchila B'Defshi Yesh Lachmim, when you could be Machmim, be Machmim. Rebbe Yitzchak Abadi completely disregards this Chayodim. Although the Chazanish wasn't so far, Rebbe Yitzchak Abadi says, no, Ein Akein Adin Lamaisa, there's no such problem, you don't have to worry about it. Rav Moshe has a tshuva like that also. Someone asked Rav Moshe, do you have to be machmir for the Chayodom in a Kli Shlishi? And Rav Moshe's answer was, not really. That it's already chumra upon chumra. So again, the fizeh, if you can justify your supal as a Kli Shlishi, because you hold like the ladle, and on top of that you hold like the chumra of the Chazanish, then maybe my soup is Yad Nechves, you could still justify it because those are too many chumras piled on top of each other. The next problem that we need to talk about is, okay, so halacha l'maaseh, this is all really from last week's shiur, for the record. We came at halacha l'maaseh, we can probably feel comfortable justifying dipping our challah into our soup bowl. Okay, we piled up a bunch of things, but we're basically assuming that we make our soup bowl a klish shlishi by using the ladle as a klisheni, which Mr. Brewer somewhat says for himself. On top of the fact that we assume that the chayadim's chumra of yad nichvas doesn't apply to a klish shlishi, or that we don't buy into it, or that our soup is yad nichvas, and therefore we can sleep easy at night dipping our challah into our soup. And you always have, all else fails, you always have ein bishalach afiyah to be semich on the ravon. And it's not kalabishul, and on top of that, maybe it's not even yatzaladis. It's a lot to pile up. By the time you're done, we feel like, is it really worth it, you know? I'll wait till the soup cools down. Another major discussion in halacha for Shabbos is that although we have a principle that things don't cook in a klisheni, says another chiddush from the Taz, those are all liquids. But if you have what's called a dover gush, a solid, solid is unique that it retains its heat in itself. A liquid, its heat source is its walls. So a soup retains the heat from its walls. So if you switch it into another kli, it cools down over time. Says the Taz, but not a dover gush, a solid. The classic example of a dover gush is a hot potato. A potato, when you open a potato, it is piping hot because it retains the heat in itself. So the question is, if I have a hot potato in a klisheni, would I be able to put something into it? We keep on saying that nothing cooks in a klisheni. Says the Taz, yeah, that's liquids don't cook in a klisheni. But if you have a solid that retains its own heat, it can has the potential to cook in a klisheni. Why is this relevant? Let's say many people I know, in my house sometimes we have, Friday night, to mix things up, you'll have meatballs Friday night. Ah, meatballs. What's a meatball? Meatballs are dover gush. Open up a meatball, piping hot. I know every Friday night when my wife serves it, I always get, my mouth gets burnt. Maybe it's even yad nichus, I don't know. So what's with a meatball? Many people like to dip their challah into the meatball. Oh, one second, we got a problem now. That meatball is a dover gush. So even if it's a klisheni, and the Mishnah Berurah passes nichus Pesach, a dover gush could cook even in a klishlishi. So now we got a big problem. Can I dip my challah into the meatball? So the answer that the Achrenim suggested, it's based on the Pesachei Tshuva, is that when the meatball is around the sauce, it becomes now a saucy thing. And sauces, we already said, are not subjected to klisheni, klishlishi, or whatever it may be. So according to this, if you're going to dip it into a meatball, so if you have just a meatball, you're in trouble. If the meatball served with a sauce, you'd be better off. So according to this chumra of dover gush, it would be okay as long as it's not only the meatball, but along with the sauce. Another interesting shaila is, let's say chalent. Let's say you have chalent on your plate, and then you have coleslaw right next to it. The coleslaw is raw. Coleslaw is raw. The chalent, or the potatoes of the chalent, let's say you just have potatoes on your plate, and you have coleslaw. So what ends up happening is the two of them mix. Why isn't that bishul? Klisheni, so what? Klisheni, so what? This is dover gush. Dover gush cooks till the end. Why is that mutter to do? So I remember when we were in yeshiva, we used to fight a lot about this. Why is it okay to have your coleslaw together with your chalent? So maybe it's not. So there are those achrim who say it's not. So if you look very quickly, and we'll have to just wrap up, but if you look at number 27, in the Sefer Orach HaShabbos, he addresses this issue. And he quotes on the bottom that Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Fisher thought it's not okay. They thought you got to keep your plates careful. You can't have any raw vegetables served next to any piping hot dover gushes. However, he quotes over here from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman thought not. He thought that you don't really want, it's not a milah to cook your coleslaw. Or it gets ruined. It loses it. So Mizalman thought that Eina Mashbiach Oisimel Mekalkalom. He thought it ruins it. Well, let's say you have pickles. They really don't. Let's say you have pickles right next to the chalent. It ruins it. Who wants a cooked pickle? So therefore, Rabbi Mizalman thought it was mutter. He thought it was Bishop Klachiyad. He had a whole list of rules. But many Achreim Taki held it's a problem. So that's something you should keep aware of. So if you have a very soupy chalent, so that's okay because it's a liquid. But if you're going to have pieces of potatoes or other dvarim gush, you're going to run into a problem of bishul, even in a klishlishi, according to the Mishnah Berurah Hilchos Pesach. Okay, we didn't have time to talk about tea and coffee. So with tea and coffee, the best thing is make it in a klishlishi. You don't have any problems. Everything in a klishlishi is okay, so you're not going to have any problem. Can you technically make instant coffee in a klisheni? Probably. Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that he really thinks you could, but he's machmir to do it in a klishlishi, but he thinks Medina you don't have to. You can really make it into a klisheni. Because the instant coffee is already cooked. But the tea is a real problem. The Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah all think that tea is vadei kalei bishul. Einenu ra'inu, look at a tea bag. So there are those achronim who think even the Chazon Ish would agree to tea. I don't know. He doesn't say it. It's hard to know.
The
Chazon Ish would be okay.
According to
Yireim, he would not be okay with that. According to Yireim, he would not sign off on making tea. Right. Now, there's another one more chumra from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish held that if you have, let's say, an urn, and you take the water from an urn, that first cup, we all think is a klisheni. Chazon Ish held that first cup is still a klibishin. Because since you got it from al-gabe ish, it never got severed its connection from the fire, that second cup is not considered a klisheni. So in his house, they say that they used to use four cups to get the klisheni. It's based on this passage over here. If you want to take a look, it's number 28 in the Aruch HaShabbos.
How can you argue that it's ish?
No.
The first cup?
No, but the first cup, is the urn is still attached to the fire.
So that's
right, so he writes, if you look at number 28, he writes over here in the Sefer Tamid, that's the Chazon Ish, Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky writes, that he heard from the Chazon Ish, she'bemikre she'iroi mashkin mitoich kli'oim l'gabe ish. If you did iroi from a cup that was still ala ish, which is an urn. It's iroi from an urn. Again, if I use a kettle, it's off the fire. But an urn is still on the fire.
Okay, but it's going into something else.
But the Chazon Ish had a raya from the Gemara about Abachi that we learned last week, that he learned that's still Kli Rishon. So if you're going to be machmir for this Chazon Ish, so if you want to get to Kli Shishi, you got to use one more cup. Okay? So that's the last chumra of the day. If you want to use the Chazon Ish, you got to use a fourth cup to try to be machmir for Kli Shishi. It's halacha l'maisa. There's something to be aware of, but there's definitely room to make both with the bread and the challah, and definitely with the tea and the coffee. As long as you use the Kli Shishi, you should be okay.